Welcome back to the Nerdrotic Podcast. My name is Gary Buechler. I'm live in San Francisco, California, and I come to you from nerdrotic.com. And down south in San Diego is my good friend and co-host, Dennis Bethalkas. What is up, Dennis? How are you?
I'm doing good. How about you?
Fabulous. I've got my Taboo hat. I love period pieces because I can wear my bowler hat. So that I paid a lot of money for that I like. But I can't rock it all the time, you know, because it's a bowler hat. And sorry, PETA, it is made out of horsehair. So there it is.
Well, it's horsehair. It's not like you skinned anything.
I got it at the shop that Winston Churchill bought his hat. It's a 400-year-old hat shop. So in London.
Wow.
Yeah, it's really cool. That I can't remember the name of. It's on the box over there. I'll plug them later. But we're here to discuss The Alienist. It premiered tonight on TNT. And I don't know about you, Dennis, but I saw this in front of pretty much every movie I have watched in the last 3 months.
4 months.
Yeah. And really well promoted television show. Looked really sleek, looked pretty. Both of us were talking about this, you know, hoping like we can get like another Taboo. You know, not as good as Taboo, but maybe in that realm, you know. Historical drama is another one of those things Dennis and I love. So, this episode for me, it's too early to tell, not to bury the lead. This is based on a book series by, Caleb Carr. I believe his name is Caleb Carr. And, it's from 1994. I've honestly never heard of the book. They offered a free download on Audible if you sign up for a 30-day trial. So, I'm gonna download it. So
I saw the commercial for it, and I didn't bite on that one. I didn't realize that's what it was.
Yeah. So, I'm gonna go traveling, so I'm gonna download it and take a listen on my little road trip. But since we don't know anything about the book, there will be no book spoilers in this one, obviously. So I don't know. Overall, before we start recapping, what did you think, Dennis?
This episode was mainly set up, I think, and I need another episode to kind of give get my bearings on this. I mean, it wasn't great, but it wasn't, you know, bad either.
No, it was very pretty. The sets were. Sorry?
It was very safe, is what it was.
Okay. The sets were amazing. The costuming was amazing. The attention to detail and everything. I guess they some Eastern European city they were in. I forgot where it is. And they built this entire set. I think I saw that in one of the movie promos. While I was waiting to see Jumanji or something like that. And they talked about the sets and that's what sold me on the show. I don't know much about the star, Daniel Brühl. I think I've seen him in a couple things. Can't quite remember.
Yeah, he's been a villain in some things, and I remember seeing him.
Oh no, he was in Age of Ultron. That's where I've seen him before. Yeah,
he was. What's his name now? The villain, as a matter of fact. Now I'm blanking on his name.
Zemo.
Zemo. Thank you, Baron Zemo.
Baron Zemo, or a MCU very light version of Baron Zemo. And Luke Evans, who I love. I wish he was in more stuff. I even enjoyed Dracula Untold. I thought that was a kind of a cool movie. And
you and about three other people.
You mean about three? Oh, my wife being the second that one. She loves Luke Evans, and he, you know, this role is very different for him. He's not playing the dashing like action man. He's, you know, playing kind of the sensitive artist. Aristocratic artist, and it's basically Sherlock Holmes. All right, so we've got the alienist who nobody likes, and I guess the whole field of study back then, I'm just going on the words of the TV show, was not there, that they were kind of frowned upon and looked at as kind of freaks, or like kind of witch doctors back, you know, back in the
late 80s. They're looked at as witches basically because they communicated with the mentally ill.
Yep. Who at that time there was not a lot of sympathy for a lot of things back then. And that, that comes through a lot in this show. And it tries to be, you know, God, a lot of times when they do historical dramas, they really try to shoehorn some modern stuff in. And they did that definitely in that, in the show, but it was very light and it made sense to me. I didn't have a problem with any of the storytelling or any of the words coming out of anybody's mouth. I thought the writing was very good. The delivery by some of the actors and actresses in this show could have been a little better in my opinion. And, I know John brought this up, I can't remember what show. It was a couple of podcasts before about the ADR. It was really bad in the show with Dakota Fanning. I thought I was watching like a Godzilla movie at some point.
He's talking about the gifted finale.
Yes. With the Frost sisters. So I got the same thing with this one, especially in a lot of the outdoor scenes with her. It just wasn't matching up. And also maybe it's just me, her kind of California accent. It didn't fit.
Yeah, it was very odd. I mean, she's supposed to be more of the modern woman in that time, you know, in the late 19th century. And I guess you could say a suffragette, if you will, but even taken to a more extreme. And yeah, I don't know. It just seemed kind of weird. That's all, the take on her.
Well, it was just, I just kind of thought her acting delivery was off. And we'll have to see. It's really early on, so I don't want to bag on anything. This show could really pick up, but for a premiere and for what this was built up as, it could have moved a little faster for me. Again, this is very Sherlock Holmes. We got a Watson, you know, we even got a Watson's wife, you know, with her name was Sarah. Oh man, I just had it now. Sarah Howard.
Sarah Howard. Yes.
Yeah. So Luke Evans plays John Moore and Daniel Brühl plays Laszlo Kreisler, Dr. Laszlo Kreisler. And just what I went over real quick with the Wikipedia is it's a historical drama that's going to have some people, you know, so we have like Theodore Roosevelt when he was commissioner in New York. Again, not one of my favorite characters in this. And he is one of my favorite characters from history. So he was played a little, I don't know, soft-spoken for me. Maybe that's what he was really like, but I never got that impression.
I don't know if he was soft-spoken. I think he was just more, he just took over the job as commissioner and realizing that.
I don't mean soft-spoken in that spin. I meant just like in his actual voice.
Okay.
In his actual voice, he is very soft-spoken. I just thought he would be a little more gruff. But that's my expectation. And it's too early to tell if this is like a bad performance. The two best performances were from, from Brühl and Evans. They did great jobs in this and they sold it. And just the beginning scene was, you know, it had me hooked in, you know, that first few minutes was really freaking great. So we get to, they start out with a cop walking the beat. He's walking in the snow. He sees a severed hand laying on the ground. He looks up, gets a drop of blood on his face, and he like starts banging a pole with his nightstick. And I guess that's what they did back then.
That's the instead of call boxes, because they had cops like every block. So they'd bang a pole with their nightstick, and they would ring. The next one would carry it on and on until they got to the precinct. So they'd send more people that way.
Yep. And that was a great scene. Again, the look of the city, the panning up while they were all banging on the poles and like the sound was echoing. That was really, really good. Really cool. We get to see Dr. Kreisler early on when I guess a kid had witnessed it and he ran to his house and told him that the murder victim was dressed up like a girl. Mm-hmm. But it was
a boy dressed as a girl.
It was a boy dressed as a girl, and that that really kind of got Dr. Kreisler's. It really pinged something for him, and he sends Luke Evans' character John Moore up to sketch a picture. So he's basically the equivalent of a Jimmy Olsen, kind of. You know,
he works for the New York Times. He's an illustrator for the New York Times.
So he wants him to run up there and get a sketch of the body. And this was my favorite scene right in the beginning when John Moore's walking on the bridge, whatever bridge they're on, and it's being constructed, I guess.
It's the Brooklyn Bridge.
It's the Brooklyn Bridge, and they're building it right then?
Yeah.
Okay. So that whole scene where he was walking on that, wow, was great. That looks so good. That looked movie quality to me. Just the way they shot it and everything. And who directed this again?
The man who directed it was Jacob Verbruggen. He's the director of In Bruges. I'm probably saying that wrong, as well as directed an episode of Black Mirror.
Yeah. As well. Again, the look of this thing was top notch. So yeah, they get to the body, and you know, I was kind of actually, it wasn't quite as gruesome as I thought this show was going to be after watching like Bones with my wife for freaking a decade, which was kind of cartoony gruesome. I was expecting worse. It was still pretty bad. The kid was gutted. His eyes were they thought were
eaten out by crows or by birds or rats.
Yeah, he had organs, some organs laid down by his feet, some were missing. Luke Evans' character almost gets sick. So you tell right away, like, this isn't a rough, this isn't the usual character that he plays. We have a police sergeant there who's, you know, crass and calling the kid unnatural, and, you know.
They called him a boy whore, is what they called him.
And he also called it an it. All right. Yeah. And that's what Luke Evans is like. Do you need to call it a knit? And he's unnatural, you know. So,
To tell you how unfazed I was by the, you know, the grossness of it. I was eating dinner at the time that this was going on and didn't stop. So
we watch Ash vs. Evil Dead. You know, it's just a thing. I still get squeamish, but it's like in the act of like gouging out eyes or something like that. But when it's already done, you know, the body, it's like a lot of times the bodies look fake as hell anyway.
Yeah.
But this one looked good. This is, for being a horrible murder. But yeah. And so he sketches the body, and I love how they zoom in like right through the dead eye to get to, and then you end up in the room with Dr. Chrysler. And then it goes to the credits. I thought that was a really good beginning. So I'm like, oh, we're off to a good start here.
My favorite scene was actually right afterwards, where Chrysler is looking at the illustration and he goes, well, this does me no good. This is you prettied it up, basically. You illustrated it. He goes, what did you see? And I thought we were going to get more of that, of, you know, him breaking this down. And we didn't. They kind of left that. That kind of methodology out. And I thought that that's where they were going with this. And then they kind of stopped. And then they just kind of went more along the lines of the thriller route than the methodology. And I think if they had actually stuck with the methodology portion, it would have hooked me in a little bit more.
Agreed. And before I get to elaborate on my agreement with you, I need to bring up that if you are in the chat, we are not ignoring you. We do the recap first, and then we get to your chat afterwards with questions, corrections, anything else. Also, I want to mention that we've hit 1,000 subscribers, so we do have Super Chat. So if you would like, there's a little dollar sign. You could leave us a tip. If not, that's cool. We just like you being here. We also have a Patreon. Please check us out. It's patreon.com/nerdrotic. You get stuff at every level. It's pretty cool. We've got a couple of patrons now, so that's really cool. Isaiah and Viking Biatch. Can we say that? Beach?
Viking Beach, yes.
Well, I guess we can forget that experiment. We've been trying not, we want to make this family friendly as possible, but we've been trying not to cuss. I've even got my swear gauntlet here going on. So if I cuss, I gotta see, it's already full too. I probably got $30 in there. So we're trying not to get demonetized. Not that we need the money from YouTube, the pennies, but we like it for the views. And our experiment did not work on Counterpart, where the first episode ever, we did not cuss out of 200 something videos. We still got demonetized. So
really?
Yeah, we did. That's okay. It's all right. No big deal. Anyways, back to my agreement with you. I was expecting that too. I was like, go ahead and copy Sherlock. Sherlock would have stopped and done his little do-do-do-do-do thing where he, you know, like goes over the scene in his head and gets all the details that everybody missed. And that's what he is supposed to be, right? Or even if you follow the, like, walk the killer's footsteps or something like that in Dr. Chrysler's head, something like that, right?
I think that's where they're getting at because, you know, not to jump to the end at all, but I think that's where they're getting at with this whole, like I said, I think this is the setup.
Okay. And I agree with you that, but I still would have. Okay. So the basis of this show is it's basically CSI year one or CSI origins, you know, it's
the origins of modern criminology is really what it is.
So basically in this world, this is going to be the first guy to go, hey, we have two murders that are connected and I want you to look at the bones for every mark. And like, nobody's done this before. So that's interesting. They should have, I think they played that out enough, but not enough. You know what I mean? They didn't show enough of the, like the marks on the bones or following the killer's footsteps. These are things, maybe they wanted to focus on the characters this episode. So, I mean, again, it's too early to tell. So we don't want to be too harsh because they could definitely be getting to that.
They spent a lot of time with Luke Evans in the you know, brothel more than anything else. That's what I thought.
They did. And the first time I was interested, the second time it felt repetitive. Mm-hmm. So Luke Evans is visiting a brothel. Luke Evans' character, John Moore's character, is visiting a brothel. And he has the lady of the night put on a ring, which we're assuming is a wedding ring. Or if you want to get really weird, mom's ring. And again, we have not read the book. So if you read the book, you might know this. And just please be wary about that in the chats and comments. We don't want to spoil too much. So I don't know, whose ring did you think that was?
I don't know. It might have been
like a wife fetish. Maybe his wife died and he's trying to,
he was asking her questions like, were you at so-and-so's house? Was he there? And he seemed to get turned on by it, which was kind of weird. And so I'm sure there's going to be something where Dr. Chrysler ends up analyzing him because there's something, you know, in his nature that he needs to go there and work out whatever these fantasies are, which
there's definitely a kink for that. It rhymes with duck hold. there's a certain kink for that. So and we're going to slowly find out everybody's effed up in their own way. We found out a little bit about Chrysler. I guess that's our, for John Moore, we're not sure. Yeah. He likes to relive a fantasy involving a lady of night putting on a ring and asking like, where were you last night? And then they have sex and he pays up his gold coin and that's it. But he got interrupted this time because he had to go and draw the picture of the dead body. That would make me very crabby, by the way. I definitely put down in my notes, like, amazing effects. I cannot say enough how pretty the show is, and it looks very expensive. So it needs to be a little faster paced. That's all I'm saying.
So, yeah. Like I said, I'm fairly sure this was the setup. They went very slow in order to set everything up.
So, very,
yeah, it was very slow. And like I said, bringing in, you know, when they introduce Sarah Moore as Sarah Howard as the first female policewoman, I guess you could say, she was working in the police department with the commissioner. And that was interesting. But again, like you said, Dakota Fanning's acting was not that great. I still don't know where she's going to fit into this. She just seemed like the odd man out. It was kind of odd.
Yeah. She just didn't seem she fit in with this cast very well. And she can act. Okay. I've seen her act very good and stuff. So maybe she didn't feel comfortable in a period piece. Maybe they wanted to, I don't know. I don't know how accurate it was back then. I don't know what the accents were like back then, but I know they were definitely, if you listen to the old recordings, even from the early 1900s, people definitely talked different back then.
It was New York though. So, I mean, it was a melting pot of accents.
And that's what Melissa said when I was kind of complaining about it to her, but, it just seemed a little too modern. Okay. Oh, especially when you're that detailed, about it.
And like, bro, she had it like talk.
Dude, I was like working at the police department, you know, I'm a god. I'm a girl at the police department, girl power, right on. She's very defensive. Her work environment must absolutely suck, by the way.
Oh yeah.
That must be the worst job ever. But what was she doing? Is she a secretary to the commissioner, or was she like a detective, or
I don't know. I mean all she was doing was looking like she was working in that front office and filing paperwork. I mean, honestly, it didn't look like she was doing much. And then the interesting thing is we see her home life, which is she's single, so she's living by herself. She obviously comes from money. So she essentially goes home, eats dinner by herself, and then smokes and talks to her maid. That's pretty much
it. That scene, but that was done really quick. So that instead of the Luke Evans thing, they did that all in one scene where she sits down at a dinner table and they pan out over it like this long table and you get the loneliness. So we're already, we're shipping, John Moore and Sarah already. I mean, you could tell they're going to like each other. She even sees it with, John, once they, when they meet, Sarah, they're, Dr. Chrysler and John Moore are trying to get the files, for what I thought was the current murder, but it was for a previous murder. And this is what pinged Dr. Chrysler said. So they barge into Theodore Roosevelt's office, Commissioner Roosevelt, and they ask him for the files for the Zweig twins.
What happened was there was a murder 3 years ago of a boy and girl, twins, and the boy liked to dress like his sister. And that was a former patient of his. And the weird thing about it was that they were found in a water tank. The girl, they said there's nothing remarkable about what happened. She was just killed. But the boy was eviscerated basically from throat to crotch and basically just ripped apart essentially. So almost in the same manner that, Giorgio was found, the boy prostitute.
Yep. So
in the same dress too.
And what was it? They're cut from chin, from sternum to groin.
Yeah.
That we said that was one of the characteristics about it.
And the genitals removed and all that.
Yeah. So the girl was probably strangled or something, or even what did they found? Was it drowned? I can't remember, but the boy was just destroyed basically.
Yeah.
But not savagely, but like, also enough to like, there's something weird and emotional here, and it is boys dressing as girls, which people did back then, you millennials. All this stuff isn't new, okay? This is very old, actually. As old as the world's oldest profession. Roosevelt's like, hell no. We're boys from Yale. Apparently they all went to Yale together. But you're destructive and you know, you're going to bring too much attention. And this is a clean cut case. They had accused a guy, by over interrogating him and, another male prostitute, but an older one, who was in Bellevue. And he had killed, his boyfriend, who I guess had left him at some point. And, Dr. Chrysler had got that out of him. And, that was a wretched scene, man. That was, you know, the guy was banging his head against the wall. Yeah. And his face was just all caved in and he was asking if he could cure syphilis. He's all, and the doctor was just he's so matter of fact. He's very Spock. He's like, you know, you're going to die. But he got into his head and, you know, he asked him like why he killed his boyfriend. I forgot his name, Edwin or something like that. And
he asked him what color his eyes were.
Wait, this is after, no, this, he got through to him. He goes, you know, that must have, he must have caused you a lot of pain, you know, for you to stab him 20 times. He must have done something horrible to you. And then he asked him, he's like, what color were Edwin's, I believe his name was Edwin, Edwin's eyes. And he said, green. Green with envy.
Green, the color of envy. Yeah. And he left you for someone else. And then he said, what color were Giorgio's eyes? And he couldn't answer. And he goes, you didn't kill the boy.
So he got it out of him. So that's why he went back to Roosevelt. And he's like, listen, you don't have the right guy, but Theodore Roosevelt wasn't going to have to it. And before he left the guy with syphilis jail cell, he's like, what's going to take me first, the gallows or the pox? And he's all, actually, the electric chair. That's what's going to
take you. Use the electric chair. They don't kill you for that. They don't hang you for that. They electrify you. He goes,
yep.
Either one is painful, but the pain will end soon.
Yeah, your pain will end soon. So have a nice day. Yeah. Very cold-blooded. And his name was Edwin, by the way. But he also said something interesting. The guy with syphilis, when they were questioning about, if you killed Santiago, the boy who died, and he's like, I don't go to the Molly house. Giorgio, sorry. Yeah. I don't go to the Molly house. With all the rich guys. So he already, that's one clue right there is all the lady boys go to like all the aristocrats and go where all the rich dudes go.
Yep.
Typical plot point. I'll have to say it's very typical, you know, it's very Jack the Ripper theory. So, so they figure out that Wolf, the guy who was, that had syphilis, he isn't the guy.
So, actually, Chrysler had gone there first before he had even gone to Roosevelt. And when he told Roosevelt that I've already been there and I've already interrogated your witness, and he didn't do it. And Roosevelt gets pissed off going, see, this is the reason why I didn't bring you in on this, because you were going to destroy everything and, you know, make a mockery of the case, essentially.
Yep. Okay. So we also get a little quick little scene with the old commissioner, who is going to come in and be important later.
Thomas Burns.
Yeah. And he's, who's he played by? He was from Monk.
He's played by Monk. And that is, and I just lost his name here. I will get it.
Ted Levine.
Ted Levine. Yeah.
That guy, see, again, the look, that guy just looked great. I'm like, oh, I know him from somewhere. What is it? Yeah. Monk. Oh my God, it's a show I haven't thought about in years. I loved Monk. It was good. But you could tell the commissioner, he's retired, but he's still visiting the police department.
Well, he still runs it, essentially.
Yeah, that's what the whole point of that was he's like, he's still, you know, we've got cops on the take. Because of these murders, Roosevelt makes them shut down the brothel. So the two Italian guys who own it, you know,
well, first, he calls them the two big crime lords. Yeah.
Yeah. They first kind of like are what? But one guy's like, nope, that's fine. We'll close it. No problem. We don't want to cause any trouble. And Kelly
is his name.
Yeah. And they just move it across the street. And they pay off another cop. So yeah, you could tell everybody's on the take. And this was kind of true back then. And Roosevelt had to clean it up. He also had to clean up the streets of New York, and his methods were pretty hardcore. Mm-hmm. Look into it. And this was also, you know, during the whole Gangs of New York era too.
Yeah. 1896 is when this takes place. We forgot to mention that at the very beginning.
Yes. Okay. So Dr. Chrysler's trying to get to the bottom with the Zweig twins and trying to figure out what's going on. He gets the files. And again, the files show him zip. They don't give any details. So this is like the third time in the episode where like files aren't doing any good. They don't give a crap. They're just like dead body, burp, burp, gone, you know? So again, we're like, this is the origin of CSI. Here's an origin moment. You know, like these files are terrible. I need to make better files. So they go and visit a couple of.
Well, they go to the grave first and actually dig up the twins. And, bring them back to his place so that he can examine them. And when he opens it up, he's like, okay, well, he really can't do anything with this because they're bones at this point. So he brings in a pair of pathologists who are ostracized by the police anyway, because one, they are bringing in modern technology or modern techniques in, and two, they're Jewish. So, which is bad news at this time.
Yeah. So that, yeah, anytime they can get away from the department, they're like, no, we can be here as long as you like. We're good. So apparently this is, in this world, this is going to be the first like, forensic, you know, they're going to do some forensics on the bones, you know? So, and they, he's all, I want every detail marked down. I want everything. And in the meantime, he takes off, asks John Moore if he wants dinner. He's like, how could you eat like that? And he's like, at a time like this, he's all, well, you know, I'm fine. Really?
Yeah.
I'm hungry.
And when he opens up the cab to get inside, he sees a crumpled up piece of paper, opens it up, looks inside, and he all of a sudden freaks out and starts looking around. He asks his manservant, I guess you could say, if anyone had been in the cab, if he had been away from the cab. And he's like, no, I've been here all this time. And he starts looking around. Moore's like, what's going on? And he sees this guy in a big top, you know, in a big coat with a hat on. You can't see the face. And he's just standing there. And as soon as the carriage passes him, he disappears. And Chrysler starts taking off after him, which is really dicey in these streets. Because, I mean, you've got carriages going all over the place. He's dodging through carriages. Moore gets knocked over, as a matter of fact, because he's trying to follow him. Goes into a building, starts running up the stairs, chasing this guy. And Moore is following him or trying to follow him. And when he finally gets to the attic area, he realizes the guy has taken off and disappeared.
Yeah. And the funny thing was that Melissa noticed this, my wife, he all throughout the whole episode, he's been walking on a cane. And yeah, people used canes back then, even when they didn't need them. It was kind of a social thing. But it was full on Yoda. Cause he'd not been very nimble, but when he started chasing after the killer, all of a sudden he's like, you know, he looks like LaDainian Tomlinson running through the freaking streets of New York. He's all, which was kind of off-putting for a little bit, but it was a cool action-y scene that this show definitely needed. And right before that, there was a little scene that I missed the first time watching it. And it was right before commercial. And this scene would have been so much better without a damn commercial. And it was somebody chopping up like a liver.
Yeah,
and feeding a little bit to a cat, and then throwing a couple of kidneys onto a frying pan, and then dropping an eye into some boiling water. Soup.
Yeah.
So you know that for one, the kid's getting et, and the eyes were gouged out by the killer, so that makes it even worse. And then, if you don't count the commercial, which I had to watch, it cut right to Dakota Fanning being served her meal alone. And I was like, oh, that would have been good cut, but we missed it. So yeah. So he, Dr. Chrysler chased the killer. The killer amazingly jumps through the roof 20 feet high.
That was, we assume, that's what where he escaped from. We don't know for sure. And, he, by the time Moore catches up to him, Chrysler is still holding on to that paper, crumpled up piece of paper, and he shows Moore that it's a tongue, because he asks Moore, did you notice the boy's mouth at all? What happened with the boy's mouth? And that's where we kind of leave it. You know, we cut to another commercial.
Yeah, right at the end there, and then it comes back, and it's just and this is the origin part of it. He's getting, I don't know, his one of his maids is doing something. And
she's undressing him, basically. She's unbuttoning his shoes. And because there's a lot of buttons back then, as we saw with Dakota Fanning, she had her corset undone by her maid. And as he's getting his shoes unbuttoned, he's saying, I need to start thinking like this guy. What would it feel like to drive a knife through this young man's body, cut his throat, gouge out his eyes, that kind of thing? He goes, I need to become this killer. I need to know what it's like to be him and what it's like to kill. And that's where we start getting the first inklings of your criminal profiler, basically.
Yeah, because it was intercut with a kid kind of acting out on the street, and then he gets followed down
all kinds of alleyway. We were seeing the kids in the Bowery that were being basically they're in the sex trade.
We're in the red light district, but we're following around one kid, and it's kind of a busy scene. There's a lot of other stuff going on. There's transactions being made, you know, and the kid just looks angry, and he's getting pushed around, and he runs down an alley, and he like throws the bottle against the wall, and we're following this kid, and then you hear what is he? He's like, "What's wrong, child?" or something, or
why are you so angry, child?
Yeah, and this is intercut with like, "I need to become the killer, even if it takes me into the heart of darkness. I need to be him." You know, it was very comic book at the end.
Yeah,
and it was missing something. You know what I mean? It was missing some gravitas. You know, it didn't feel like the dramatic moment that the music was playing, like what was before me was not as dramatic as it looked. You know what I mean? So, and that's where it ended. And I definitely want to see the next episode. And they showed the trailer for the rest of the season, and it looks quite good. Like a lot of stuff starts going down. So, you know, it was an okay first episode. You know, I wouldn't say it was terrible at all. I enjoyed watching it, but if you want to compare it to a pilot, like if you compare it to Counterpart, it's not even in the same realm.
League. Yeah. No, it's nowhere near the same league. And this is by the same production company, by the way, Anonymous Content.
Anonymous Content.
Which we love. Yeah, we love Anonymous Content. And so far, this has been the first one that's been kind of questionable. We're like, but we'll see where it goes, honestly.
Yeah, they also did Philip K. Dick's Electric Dreams. I watched a couple episodes today, and I will be doing like little short solo videos on those. Some of them are good, and some of them are not. But we'll get to that. But Anonymous Content is putting out like really edgy, fun, high art, but it's not like high art drama, boring, you know, a bunch of quiet people sitting in a quiet room being sad quietly. They're doing a lot of weird stuff. So that's what we like. So that's good. That's good. So props for trying to make another period drama. These things look expensive as hell. They got good actors and actresses who need to perform better. But again, maybe it's just getting used to their environment and stuff. And maybe, you know, sometimes pilot episodes are shot like months before the rest of the series. I don't know if that was the case here. They call this an event series. So I don't know. I mean, that's a new term that's been floating around the last couple of years. I don't know if this means like, it's just a one-off, like they're going to do this one and that's it. But that's kind of where we were at with Taboo. They never really said like, if this was going to be something we're going to get seasons of, or it's just kind of a one thing. And then as it went on, we finally found out there would be a season two. Actually, funny thing about Taboo, it was only officially confirmed like a few weeks ago.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah.
Like it was assumed, but it wasn't officially confirmed by the BBC. Actually, it was a couple weeks ago. It's going to be another year till we see it. They're just started writing it, which is too bad. I freaking love that show, man.
Yeah, me too.
I'll go back and watch it again. Totally.
So let's get to some comments here.
Yes.
Ghost World says, I can see this probably not taking off very quickly. Yeah, it's going to be, if it speeds up a little bit more, yes, it will. But for right now, no, I don't see it taking off very quickly either.
Yeah, I'm not super feeling it. We haven't been doing this very long, but we've been very lucky with the shows we picked. And I think it helps to have, you know, 3 to 4 people kind of voting on it. And, you know, we also did a podcast called Premieres that was just audio only, where we would, all of us would pick a show and we'd review 4 shows in that. And out of that, we'd see like, you know, which ones are good. And yeah, it was just all pilot episodes. And aside from John picking every teen drama that came out in the last 2 years, we did get Taboo out of it. And we never reviewed Expanse because it had already been out, but we decided to use Premieres for the second season, and that's what really got us into doing Expanse. So yeah, a podcast we didn't even follow through on, but it got us a couple of good shows. So this is kind of that version. Like we wanted to give this a shot, you know,
We had some space to fill in February.
Our Mondays were available, but I hate to not finish something we start, but we'll just have to see how it goes.
Yeah.
I'll give it another chance for sure.
Ben Dover says, no spoilers, please. Haven't seen it yet. Just kidding. Spoil away. But it takes a few hours for it to be available here, which sucks. But I always watch your reviews before watching the shows. Because Ben, of course, is over in Europe, if I remember correctly.
Yes. Well, sorry for spoiling it, but this isn't like about the mystery yet. And honestly, I have no clue who the murderer is.
Someone in society, that's all.
It's yeah, if they go the basic route and it's just high society, kind of a Sherlock Holmes thing, I'd be kind of disappointed. I think it needs a good twist. But this is, I guess it's a book series. It's based on the, I forgot what the name of the series was, but, it's the Chrysler series, maybe? The Chrysler series. Yeah, Dr. Chrysler. Okay. I said Chrysler. I keep on saying Chrysler. I think it's Chrysler.
It's Chrysler is what it's called.
Chrysler? Okay.
Chrysler, yeah. It's like Chrysler, the car, but it's Chrysler.
Chrysler. There it is right there on my Wikipedia. It's like staring me right in the face. It's Chrysler. Okay. There we go. That's okay. I say the wrong names all the time on these podcasts. And I went with a really bad, Star Trek. I got something so bad on Star Trek, so wrong on Star Trek. I've had to respond to like six comments on it. I was like, I know I got it wrong. It's all right.
Ghost World says, I love ideas like this, but hey, establishing characters is indeed important, though. Don't want them to Michael Burnham us.
Thank you. Agreed. Yes. Yeah. Thank you. He's just awesome. Okay. Because we said so. No, everybody's flawed here. That's the good thing is I think part of the drama is going to be like, become the most interesting thing in the show is why are these people so screwed up? Problem is, I don't think they showed them screwed up enough in the first episode. So I think they wanted to just show them more in their natural environment before we start getting into like how effed up these people are. Dr. Chrysler is blamed for the Zweig twins' death by their mom. Yeah. He does oversee a bunch of kids. I guess we should have mentioned this. And it's like a wayward home for boys and girls, maybe.
Yeah.
For troubled boys and girls.
They have a gymnasium, a playground, classrooms, all that kind of stuff. And he actually takes in a little boy who has been setting fires and wetting the bed.
Wetting the bed. Well, maybe he's just trying to put the fires out. Sorry. Bad joke.
I thought the same thing, actually. I just didn't voice it. That was all.
Oh, dude, always voice it. What the hell?
And also Ghost World says, these bizarre fetish like backstories make the show already sound awesome.
Yeah. That's the kind of stuff I want way more of. So, it looks so damn good. I have to give it a chance.
It's got the potential there. It really does have the potential. And now I'm going to be very careful when I say this name. Wolf Shifter, because that could be said a lot more wrong than I want to.
Yes,
but Wolf Shifter, he says you can't say entitled anymore because we were talking about millennials being entitled. Ghost World made a joke. He says, "What, millennials don't own cross dressing? But come on, we're entitled to that too." And, and he also says this show sounds baffling is what Wolf Shifter says.
So. It kind of was with some of the acting, but it doesn't, it's not
editing. Really,
baffling in a, yeah. A counterpart is baffling, but in a good way.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a mind bender is really what counterpart is. This one, the editing was off. Cause I actually went through, I saw it the second time when it was being shown there and I'm like, okay, yeah. You need to show them a little more linear fashion than, interspersing like these little bits, like you said, having that scene where the killer is chopping up the parts and then feeding to the cat right before a commercial and then coming back to her having dinner. And it was just like, really? That was kind of an odd choice.
Well, and I only would have caught it. It was my second time around because that scene did not connect to anything else. You're right about the editing and you don't see anybody. You see a pair of hands. So you don't know what it's related to. And you got to kind of know where your world is, you got to know where you are. It's part of aesthetics and that doesn't fit. It just went clunk to this from one scene to a scene completely unrelated.
Yeah.
It was a good scene. And
the brothels reopening across the street. And then it cut right to that.
Yeah.
And it was very weird.
You know how you fix that? You go from the brothel and you zoom in on where that wherever those hands are cutting up the kid are. You don't have to show the body, but you just slowly like walk down a pathway or zoom into a door. You show movement. You show like, okay, we are now going across town to this other place where something bad is happening instead of just cutting to the bad. Yeah, exactly. You know,
that's what it needs. You know, it needs a voiceover narration. No,
it does not need a voiceover narration.
Yeah. Come on. Like, you know, meanwhile, back at the Hall of Justice.
No. If you want to do a serious one, you could do like it was 1896. Back in my younger days when I enjoyed little boys, I was a doctor. Solved murders. Five
bees for a nickel because pennies had bees on them at the time.
What the hell did she call? What's a Molly Doodle? And what was the other one?
I don't know.
I even wrote him down. Remember when she's like, "We're not going to do these Molly Doodles anymore," and she was using some of the old timey.
Oh God, no!
You didn't catch that?
I didn't catch that. No.
Ah, damn it! I wrote it down. I can't find it now. I was like, "What the hell's a Molly Doodle?" But maybe they were trying to use some of the terms from back then.
The lingo, yeah.
The lingo. The slang. And it was funny. But I only wrote down Molly Doodle. That's all I can remember. That's what you are.
No, I'm not. I'm a...
Well, are you a Molly Doodle or is it something you do?
I don't know. That's kind of weird.
Is it an act or a person? I'm not sure.
That's weird. Brian Smart says a true Penny Dreadful element.
Yes. A show that I loved, but really got,
it went to the weeds.
Loquacious. Oh my God. It's just, they tried to be Shakespeare horror. You know, they did. And I loved it. I even liked the end. I wanted more. I was kind of bummed it got cut off. It had some amazing episodes, and John Logan, the guy who wrote it, like, is good. He's really, really good. Needs a bit of an editor, but yeah, I kind of miss that show. I do. It wasn't perfect, but it. I don't know. It was a Starz show, I believe, right? So they always get cut off too soon.
Yeah. Ben Dover also agrees with us. He says, "WTF? Another year till season two of Taboo." With a frowny face.
Yes. Yeah. I was bummed to read that. I'm glad we're getting, I was shocked to read that. Like, I'm like, how old is this article? And it said December 14th that it got confirmed for season two. So they were waiting on Tom Hardy and his schedule. So you can blame Venom. Venom is the reason Taboo is late. So Venom better be effing good.
Remember we talked about that it was going to screw up the schedule, but
yep.
Hey, Ghost World says, "Hey, add Nerdrotic channel. Have you guys ever thought about doing live commentaries of you guys watching movies or shows? We have talked about this before. We've talked about doing like an MST3K kind of deal, but we haven't done it as of yet. It is something that we've talked about.
We are probably going to do that. We're definitely going to do it on Patreon for sure. I don't know if we can get away with it on YouTube. I guess we can. I don't know how exciting it would be, but I'd be happy to do it. Maybe we can send out and do like a Google Hangout and do it. And it would just be between us. We can do a private one and then record it later. I don't know. I'm totally open to it. It'd be fun. We've talked about doing that for 4 years.
Yeah.
Well, I am totally down with doing that.
The reason why we never did it is, yeah, exactly that. Is because as soon as you show more than 30 seconds of something, you get flagged.
Yeah. Okay. So here it is. Billy Doodle and a Mutton Shutner.
Oh, that's right. I remember that. Mutton Shutner.
You filthy Mutton Shutner. Mutton Shutner.
Mutton Shutner that hole.
Your mama with that mouth.
So that's pretty much it that we have for the comments.
Well, that's not bad for a show that was just okay for now. And we had our regulars in. You guys are awesome. Thank you.
Yeah. And we also had a new person. We had Wolf Shifter.
Wolf Shifter. Just have to enunciate that one.
Kind of like, slow.
Kind of like our channel name, Dennis. Nerdrotic.
Neurotic. There you go.
Neurotic. It's all right. It's your deviated septum.
It's my San Francisco accent
from all the coke you did.
Hey, that's not me.
Sorry. Hey, I got a vampiric nostril. I got a single vampiric nostril. Stole that from Robin Williams. All right, enough talk about coke.
Ghost World says, hold on just a moment. Ghost World says, how reminds me of Back to the Future 3. You can to that, hey barber. I don't know how to say
Dennis
that.
Dennis doesn't know how to read.
You can, or speak. This is what he wrote. You kin to that, hey barber. Oh, that's what it was. It was when Biff Tannen, or the Tannen, when he was, are you kin to that barber?
You kin to that barber? Oh, yeah, okay. You kin to that,
hey barber.
Oh my God. You know what? I love Back to the Future 3.
Yeah.
I think it's way better than 2. I know I got a lot of crap. You know, that's what a lot of people thought back then too. Everybody hated Back to the Future 2 when it came out.
Because it explained, you know,
I didn't, but like it was, yeah, it was not well received at all. It's gotten a lot of love, which it deserves, but during the time people were just like, meh.
Yeah.
And the only reason there was a third one is because they filmed them back to back. Very smart, Robert Zemeckis. And it was good because I liked the third one a lot. So love Back to the Future. Love Robert Zemeckis. All right. So the Patreon, Super Chat, and then you can find all of our videos and podcasts at nerdrotic.com. All of our links will be in the description below when this rolls into a video. Dennis has a Twitter. It's at DeForce, DaForce. Mine is at Nerdrotics. Our next podcasts, plural, will be Wednesday when we're going to do the X-Files and Happy. Times to be announced because I'll be traveling. So hopefully it's going to be same. It should be around the same time. I don't see a problem with it, but I won't have this fabulous location behind me. And Friday Night Live, of course. Saturday night, we're going to do Counterpart. Please join us for that. That show is amazing. If you do whatever you have to do to watch that show, okay? You know what I'm saying? And then Star Trek, and the whole cycle starts up again.
Yes. Am I doing Star Trek with you this week, or is John still on there?
John's going to be on Star Trek for the next 2 weeks.
Okay.
And then he's on his sabbatical for a month. So working for somebody else, making money. Oh,
man.
Yeah. Rob has a podcast. It's some Big Brother. He's going to be producing a celebrity Big Brother podcast, something like that. So something cool. It'll be fun. All right, man. Chatters, thank you very much. Ghost World,
thank you, everyone.
And, who else was in there?
Ben Dover, Brian Smart, Ghost World, Wolf Shifter, and I know we had one other person. No, that was it.
I still got to email Brian. I will email. I am an airhead. I will email you, sir. I apologize, guys. Thank you so much for joining us, as always, and all the kind comments. You guys are just rad, and I'm not going to stop saying that. So there it is, there. And everybody else who watched, thanks for watching. Dennis, take us out.
Don't let the door hit your ass on the way out, America, and the rest of the world.
May the small folks sing songs of your greatness. See you Wednesday.
Good night, everyone.
This thing. Damn it.
Someone just said, we're not dropping X-Files. We are doing X-Files on Wednesday.
Oh, we are not dropping X-Files. Hell no. For one, we get views on it. Didn't see that one coming. And it's Melissa's favorite one to do, so we're not going to miss it. So there you go. Not dropping X-Files, not dropping Happy. We have a big Happy announcement coming up on Wednesday. So yes. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.